Good afternoon, and thank you for joining the Georgia Show right here on CDM. We welcome you back. I'm Bill Quinn. Todd Wood is out today. We have some very interesting topics to cover today, some Georgia, some broader than Georgia. As we get going, a reminder that you can help us. We are making progress each and every day, bringing broader news with very rigorous reporting from people all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. You can help us by subscribing to our no-ad subscription. You'll find it on the front of the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com, and all our digital publications all the way across the country and, in fact, around the world. It helps us with your investment of $10 per month or $100 per year. You help us make sure that we can continue to invest, to grow the network, to make sure that we have the right people in the right places and delivering the news as quickly and as accurately as humanly possible. So thank you. If you have the means, please invest, and we appreciate you considering that. Today, we're going to cover several topics. One, right here in Georgia. It'll be a follow-up to the unfortunate and just incredible event with Senator Colton Moore. But now, after a couple of weeks, some additional details about the people involved have begun to emerge that may, in fact, be even more troubling. So we will share that as we go forward. We will hear from David Cross, who just in this last couple of weeks announced that he will be running for the chairman of the GOP party here in Georgia. We'll hear about some of his plans and his thoughts about why he's doing this. We'll also get a chance to look at some of the amazing first moves, many of them, from President Trump in just his first week in a new administration. So let's jump in just a moment. We're going to hear a message from David Cross first, and then we will begin with our first segment.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
So folks will recall the reporting that we did surrounding the incident with Senator Colton Moore, where he was prevented from entering a joint session of the House and Senate being held in the House chamber at the order, apparently, of John Burns, the Speaker of the House, and ultimately was prevented physically from entering that chamber and ultimately thrown to the ground. You'll see here the gentleman that witnesses say did that. One Kevin Williams. Well, we've talked repeatedly about the folks that we have that are citizens and activists all over Georgia. They have many areas of expertise and constantly share their thoughts, their evidence, and their thinking with us to help guide what we're looking at. And in this case, this story resulted from one of these folks that knew something about the legal structure in Georgia and around the country and began looking at things and then shared with us some direction to consider further investigation. There was a lot of upheaval across the state following Colton Moore's prevention from entering that room, his arrest on site. There at the Capitol, being charged at the Fulton County Jail for a misdemeanor. And Charlize Byrd wrote a letter, public letter, to the Speaker demanding his removal and his resignation. And we will we'll have a little bit more on that in future reporting. But many across Georgia have called for censuring, for his resignation and other things, because they believe that this action was unconstitutional, probably unlawful, probably against the rules of the General Assembly and the rules of the House itself. Let's talk about the gentleman who ultimately threw Colton Moore to the ground, Keith Williams. This is his listing on LinkedIn, and he lists himself as General Counsel, Office of the Speaker, Georgia House of Representatives. So this appears to signify that he is General Counsel on behalf of the Office of the Speaker, in other words, John Burns. What is a General Counsel? Well, we took a look in the Oxford Advanced American Dictionary. We didn't want to just come out with our own thinking. Let's go to an authority to determine what this is. General counsel is the primary lawyer who provides legal advice to a company in the United States. And there's further definition below, but you can see that it assumes by use of those words that you're dealing with a primary attorney who provides legal advice. Now, in this case, it would appear that he was providing legal advice to the Speaker of the House and perhaps more, but we don't know that. Interestingly, when you look up Mr. Keith Williams, there is a site called Open Georgia, Transparency to Government or In Government, and allows you to find out a bit more. One, it changes his name. In this particular depository is Randall Keith Williams. He is listed as the deputy chief of staff, and there's a little bit more behind that. It lists his salary as a little bit over $158,000 per year, and that is current as of, according to this database, as of 2024. So one is we recognize that there's potentially another name for this gentleman. We looked at where did he go to school for his law knowledge? He lists Oak Brook College of Law and Government Policy. And so at the behest, again, of the folks in field that began this work, they suggested we take a close look at Oak Brook College of Law. Well, when you go there, it has a number of disclosures. One of the pages is not listed on their main web page. You have to go look a little bit for it. But it begins to make it clear that Oak Brook is a college that is not a physical college, if you will. It is either a correspondence college or an online learning, or they have a number of terms for that. They also begin to disclose in these pages that the American Bar Association has not provided accreditation to Oak Brook. And they don't expect, one of the pages indicates, they don't expect that the ABA will provide accreditation to any correspondence school or online learning facility. And there's several pages that talk about this. And in fact, they disclose that many states may not recognize the learning provided by Oak Brook, and you may not be able to, for example, apply to sit for a bar exam in some states with education from Oak Brook. Part of it does indicate that California is somewhat different. California has allowed graduates from Oak Brook to, in fact, be recognized in that state as attorneys. So the things you need to take away from this is, one, not every learning facility is achieved accreditation by the American Bar Association. And in this case, the only state apparently that recognizes Oak Brook College of Law and allows those graduates to go on and achieve a status as a lawyer or attorney is, in fact, California. Why is that important? Well, Mr. Williams lists himself as general counsel, and he indicates he's been to Oak Brook College of Law. And we've now learned that there are other folks in Georgia that have also attended this Oak Brook. Perhaps not many, but we'll find out over time, we believe. But the key is the general counsel, we've already seen, seems to indicate that someone is operating as a lawyer, as an attorney, and as chief lawyer, very frankly, when they call themselves general counsel. So here's the questions that this leaves at this stage. is Keith Williams, the gentleman who threw Colton Moore down at the direction, apparently, of John Burns, is he a member of the California Bar? Well, again, our researchers checked the California Bar and did find a Randall Keith Williams listed as a lawyer in the state of California, and you can see his bar number there. Those records indicate a Georgia phone number. So it appears that Randall Keith Williams, as he is listed, is in fact a lawyer in California, a recognized lawyer. Is Keith Williams a member of the Georgia Bar? Our search of the Georgia State Bar membership list, which is available online, finds no listing for a Keith Williams nor a Randall Keith Williams. It does, in fact, list a separate Keith Williams, Keith J. Williams, who apparently is a divorce and probate attorney operating out of Rome, but that's a different individual. The other question to consider is reciprocity. So when you have achieved attorney status in some states, Georgia, at the direction of our Supreme Court, has recognized that achievement and allowed folks to apply to practice law in Georgia. You can see on the right-hand side there, what states does Georgia have reciprocity with? And the question below is, I want to practice law in Georgia. Which state licenses will get me there? You'll notice that California does not appear on that list. And in fact, Georgia does not recognize reciprocity with California. What is the statute in Georgia regarding the practice of law when one wishes to practice law and call themselves an attorney and so forth and represent others and whatnot? Well, here's the statute, and rather than read it individually, I will ask you to go to Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com, and you will find the entire statute loaded into the article that we wrote about this same topic, and you'll be able to download it and read it for yourself. We are not here to make a judgment about what this means, but we are here to call into question what it might mean in relationship to the other things we've already found. So what does it state specifically? Well, it's OCGA 15-19-51. And it's entitled, "The Unauthorized Practice of Law is Forbidden. It shall be unlawful for any person other than a duly licensed attorney at law to practice or appear as an attorney at law for any person other than himself in any court of the state or before any judicial body." Again, we're not forming judgment here. We are repeating what the law reads. And we think that this is important for folks to understand as we continue to find more about all these circumstances surrounding this incident and the people involved. So again, Mr. Keith Williams refers to himself as General Counsel, Office of the Speaker. We don't know what his individual duties might be, but we expect that folks will be asking further questions about what, in fact, duties have been performed, what John Burns, the Speaker of the House, knew of all of this, because Mr. Williams has been with the House, I believe, since or before the entry of John Burns as Speaker, and what duties have been assigned by John Burns to Mr. Williams, and are those things that need to be looked into further? Again, We don't know as we sit here. We will continue to report on this, but keep in mind there's already been cases where Charlie Spurr, and others have questioned what happened, why did it happen. Burt Jones himself, the lieutenant governor, spoke up the day after and went through how disappointing it was that this would ever occur and committed to his body in the Senate that this incident involving Senator Moore would not ever be repeated. So we count on that. We count on that commitment. We urge the lieutenant governor and others to look into this, take these facts and more as they come out, and ask some difficult questions about what the role of these players has been, what work is being done, and are there further questions that need to be asked in order to find the ultimate facts underneath all of this? That having been said, there is also an event on Tuesday of this week where citizens from across Georgia will gather at the Capitol building and will be there to support Senator Moore. Now, recall that the day after, I believe, John Burns had, in fact, made an announcement that he was lifting the so-called ban preventing Senator Moore from entering the House chamber. So we do give credit for that. However, that will not stop folks from coming to support Senator Moore because he was, very frankly, strong enough and brave enough to push forward and attempt to attend the session that he should have been allowed to attend, and yet ultimately led to his arrest and charging. We also urge, under these circumstances, and very frankly, before any of this latest information emerged, we urge the appropriate officials, including John Burns, to drop immediately the charges against Senator Colton Moore. They should never have been in a condition or a situation where they could have been imposed. He should not have been excluded, and he should not now be charged with any crime. Everybody that has looked at this, the vast majority of experts that have looked at it, say that he was following his constitutional duty and the duty to his constituents that put him in office. 78% of the vote in the last election went to Colton Moore. Those 78% of his constituents want him released from these charges and never want to see this happen again. So we urge that in fact, be the case. We will continue to follow up on this. We believe that there is more to be said, more to be found, and we will stay with it as it continues to progress as we go forward. With that, let's take a break and hear from the Wellness Company.
Well, in the case of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, these are two medications that have been FDA approved for use in humans for decades. Mm-hmm. They are very, very inexpensive. Interestingly, available over the counter in almost every other country other than the US and Canada. Yeah. You can just walk into a pharmacy and buy them like we buy Tylenol in much of the world because they're that safe. And we've known for decades that ivermectin has very strong antiviral properties. It has anti-inflammatory properties. And both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are what we call zinc ionophores. They help to move zinc from the bloodstream into the cell, which is where it needs to be in order to fight off a virus. So lots of application for these. And we have every reason to believe that those drugs also will likely have some efficacy against H5N1 or a number of other respiratory viruses that we may meet down the road.
We continue to hear reports of concern regarding bird flu, H5N1, in other words. We will continue to report on that. We have heard from Dr. McCullough again in the last few days, and he and the Wellness Company continue to recommend nasal sprays and so forth to help prevent even infection, and their contagion kit to be able to address things as they need to be. Keep in mind that the vast majority of bird flu infections have been mild. He has described them as very similar to conjunctivitis, pink eye, in other words. However, it is important to be ready, and the Wellness Company can help you and your family be ready. Okay, our next segment, we want to hear from David Cross. David, in the last couple of weeks, has announced that he will be running for the chairman of the Georgia GOP. And we wanted to hear from him, hear why he made that choice, what his expectations and plans are, and what he's hearing from the grassroots folks in the field. So let's have David Cross join us. I'm lucky enough this morning to be joined by David Cross, the second vice chair of the Georgia GOP. David, thank you a lot for making time this morning.
My pleasure. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So I suspect that your schedule is getting a little tighter these days. You've made an announcement this past week, and I wanted to hear more about it. So tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so, you know, I, for those that don't know, I've been the second vice chair of the Georgia GOP for, you know, about a year and a half right now. And I've spent a huge amount of my time on election integrity, election security, and also building out, the Georgia voter database so we can understand how voters vote and where we can find pockets of opportunity to help turn, you know, and create new Republicans. So my time has been totally, you know, totally focused there. And, you know, I've decided to run for, you know, for chairman because I think there's a lot of work to be done. I'm very concerned about 2026. And I think if we stay on the current path that we're on right now, we're going to lose, and we're going to lose huge in 2026.
So you sent out an announcement detailing some of this week. You had kind of foreshadowed this announcement on our show a week or two ago. So one, congratulations. You obviously have some goals here. Let's talk through those if we can. Where do you see the places where progress is most needed as we go forward?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. So particularly as far as electing Republicans goes, we have been, the Republican Party has been steadily eroding in terms of representation in the state House and the state Senate in the last several years. And Donald Trump won in 2024, and thank God he did. But going forward in 2026, we're going to have all of our constitutional officers are going to be on the ballot in 2026. And Donald Trump was a key driver to get Georgians motivated to vote this past November. He's not going to be there in 26. And, you know, our data suggested that he should have won Georgia by roughly 7%. And he won by a little bit more than 2%. And when you do the math backwards to try and figure out, you know, how did that margin go from like 7, you know, down to 2? The way that it happens is Georgia has got about roughly 30% of the voters in Georgia are what you call independent voters. We don't know how they vote. They just don't participate enough. They don't participate in primaries. So, you know, technically we would call them like independent voters. So we have roughly 30% of them. For Trump to have gone from 7 to 2, those independent voters would have had to vote 58% for Kamala Harris, 38% for Donald Trump, and 4% for the Green Party. And I don't think there's a sentient person out there that thinks that that's the way it happened. So I'm really terribly concerned about our election and the security of our margins in 2026. And we're going to need a lot of help in order to keep our majority. And I would love to build towards a supermajority, but at this point right now, I want to build the Republican Party.
That makes sense. I just visited with a GOP group in the last 10 days. One of the things I heard from them was that they really want, and they're a very grassroots oriented group, they really want their voices to be heard at the within what's called the executive committee and at the leadership level of the Georgia GOP. Without throwing individuals necessarily under the bus, where do you think that progress can be made and how as we get into electing new leadership?
Yeah, so as it stands right now, the party is set up with one member. You know, this corporation thing's been going on for some time. And so there is one member who is king, and that is the current chairman. And that makes it so that, you know, my voice, you know, in Gwinnett County, you know, it's not heard. And if you're in Harrelson County, your voice is not heard. Particularly if you've got people that are around you that, you know, that totally support the chairman, your voice is going to be squelched. You know, it's either going to be squelched or it's just going to be blotted out entirely. And that's not the way that this organization is supposed to be run. Under Title 21 of Georgia law, we are a political organization. And a political organization, to my mind, you know, it's representative democracy, you know, just like our current government. You should be able to have a say in your county and have that majority, representation, you know, carry on up to your district and on up to the state. And you should have the ability to have a, you know, a conversation or communicate with, you know, with leadership, either at the local level, you know, or at the state level. And right now we don't have that. We don't have communication. We don't have transparency.
We're as we sit here today, we are coming up to 1 week into the new Trump administration. And there's been an unbelievable number of actions. I think last night I heard 300 and something actions, many of which spawned multiple actions beyond them, but just an amazing amount of movement. And I recall that in the last few weeks of the campaign, Trump made time to be here in Georgia several times, three, I think, at least. And what strikes me is that message seems to suggest that Georgia is important to the country and to Trump and potentially his progress. Do you find that? And how do you think that plays in as we go into the next phase, if you will, of 2025 and beyond?
Well, hopefully the president is going to continue to see Georgia as critically important, and I think he does, and I believe that he's going to do what he can to help, you know, to help support us, going into 26. If he doesn't, and we're on our own, then we need to have a better plan than what we've got right now. So I'm extraordinarily grateful, and I'm like walking on air every time I hear, Trump. You know, Trump signed another executive order. He did this. He did that. I'm just really super excited about that. Hopefully, we're going to see an executive order come down that says that that federal elections have to be done on paper ballots counted by human beings. You know, I'm hoping that's in our future.
That would be fascinating, wouldn't it? After all this effort for the last 4 years, yeah. As we look at many of the things they're focused on, the DOGE initiative is already beginning to kind of kick in. Federal employees have been instructed to be in attendance in their office going forward, I believe within the next week or so. And they have to be attending in order to be considered employed, which is the fact that they haven't is astounding. Many of those things seem like, not just that one, but many of the DOGE actions seem to have relevance in Georgia. One example that comes to mind is Trump canceled the EV mandates that were that the federal government had pushed down. And so much of what Kemp and others have talked about seems to be wrapped around, electric vehicles are the future. We have to be a piece of that. And yet here we see the federal government moving in a completely opposite direction. How do you see that playing out? Do you think our, elected leadership is going to pay attention and will adjust? And if not, what do the folks need to do to get that hearing going, I guess, or that acknowledgement going?
Yeah, so the way that I look at things right now is that I believe that there are some factions in, in our current representation in the state and in the Senate that are beholden to interest that are not their, not the voters in their district. I think that there are some folks that are out there that are listening to the purse strings and being pulled by the purse strings, of other politicians out there and other corporations. And that's not the way that this system is supposed to work. I realize that it is a flaw in the system, but it's not the way that that you engender, people's confidence in the proper allocation of resources.
Yep. So in many counties in this coming month, there will be, I believe, what are normally called precinct caucuses. And they, at those meetings and at subsequent meetings, they begin to elect folks within their county that will serve as precinct chairman and as executive committee members, chairman, vice chairman, and so forth at the county level. What's your suggestion for folks that say, I think the time's come for me to get involved somehow? What should they be looking at? Who should they be talking to? What are your suggestions there?
So that's one of my major concerns. I think that there's a lot of people out there that feel like, Trump won, we're good, I can get back to my life, right? And, you know, and I mean, I see that with, you know, I see that with my friends and, you know, and some family members and things like that. But I've really tried to drive home the message that, you know, that Trump literally just took the beach at Normandy. We took the beach at Normandy right now. And the war's not over. We have to march on, you know, through France and Italy, you know, and go to Berlin and shut this thing down. And as it stands right now, we've just taken the beach. So I'm really encouraging my friends and family members to please, please, please get involved in, you know, in your county party. Do it right now. You know, go pay your $30 or $40 or $50 or whatever it is, you know, so that you can have a voice in your county party. Get involved in those meetings. They're going to start, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, and they're going to go through May. And then we're going to have the state convention on June 6th and 7th in Dalton, Georgia. And the only way that you can really, truly have a say going forward so we can help secure things in 26 is going to be to get involved right now in, you know, in those things with, you know, with leadership. And there's going to be votes, you know, to change leadership. There's going to be votes for who becomes a delegate. And, you know, particularly if you want to be able to participate and help me and vote for me, I need for you to be a delegate, not an alternate. I need for you to be a delegate so that you can go and you can vote in Dalton.
So to make sure people understand that process, many counties, unfortunately, convention after convention, have the ability to send more delegates than sometimes they can select. Not enough people are involved. Yep. So as an example, my very first year in getting involved in one of the counties in Georgia, I was selected to be a delegate, and we left a few on the table, as I recall, but many counties do. So this, one of the things folks need to keep in mind is don't leave the votes unable to be cast. You want to have as many delegates there as possible such that you can have your full say. Your county could be critical to making a selection that folks want. And so you want to make sure that you and your neighbors and anybody that needs to be is there. They are commitments, but they're, you know, they're relatively minor. And it's a fascinating way to meet other people from around the state, get their views, and, you know, understand what you can do next. Because as you say, folks are all over the country saying this fight is not over yet. We've had a good step. Now we have to follow through.
I would suggest if you could go to my website for a second.
Sure.
I think I've got you know, like halfway down the bottom, I think I've got a picture.
Now, okay. You said scroll down about halfway, do you think?
Yep, scroll down about halfway. There you go. Membership engagement. I want you, you know, to be involved in the Georgia GOP. One of the things I'm really terribly concerned about is the fact that I think that most of the county GOPs have got probably 10 times more former members than current members. People go to some of these meetings, they're bored, they're not engaged, they don't see how they fit, and we've got to stop that. We have to get people plugged in with where their time, talent, and treasure can be utilized to the fullest extent. You know, there are other factions of Republicans that are out there, like, you know, like the Black Republicans, the Young Republicans, and folks like that, Hispanic Republicans. We need to, you know, have them, you know, be part of this process, because it's wonderful that they've got their own group, but the only way that your voice is going to actually be represented in the state party is if you get your folks to go and participate, you know, in the statewide level. And even in Gwinnett County, like this past year, there were dozens, I think there were dozens of seats that were unfilled as far as delegates go. And that is not the way things, you know, need to be happening right now. We need to be taking full advantage of our representative, you know, form of government right now, particularly in the party.
Right. So two things, and we've seen this play out in previous years, going back after folks that were a member, but got, for whatever reason, got tired, got disenchanted, got busy with other things. And in many counties, there are, as you say, multiple Republican organizations, women Republicans, young Republicans, and so forth.
Yep.
Getting those to collaborate, getting those to participate together is an amazing step. You get a lot more viewpoints and understand better the cross-section of folks that are in your community. And two, you just have critical mass, because now you're talking about maybe three times, four times as many folks that are already involved.
Right. And what, one of the, you know, one of the key initiatives I'll be driving for on the statewide level is to make it so that we have, you know, a general basic membership in the state party. There's also going to be a, you know, a young and, you know, young Republican slash, you know, young professional Republican. Mm-hmm. There's going to be we're going to have a group that's set up to take care of those folks. We want to groom them to become the next leaders. And then we also, I'm probably going to put together something like akin to like a chairman's club, you know, so that we'll have special events. There'll be mixers and things like that that are going to happen, you know, across the state with chairman's club members. And those are going to be people that, you know, that are donating to the party on a higher level and want to mm-hmm. participate at a higher level. And we're going to be using, you know, we're going to be using their treasure and their connections in order to enable and empower other folks that are out there that are, you know, part of the organization that have got time and talent that they want to get plugged in. So it's going to be, you know, putting these things together so we can literally have an equation where one plus one is going to equal something more than two.
Wow. Sounds great. Any last messages for folks? That website, by the way, is cross4georgia.com. And folks can go there, learn more, communicate, other things that you wish them to do. Any last messages or clarifications for folks as we begin to close?
Just feel free to reach out to me. Let me know what your thoughts are. Understand that, you know, I'm one person. I've got a couple people that are helping me, you know, as far as being able to respond to messages. But, you know, send me something that's, you know, that's brief and to the point that's on your mind. And, you know, and I'll make sure that it gets addressed.
Where else do you communicate so folks can watch your thoughts as they're shared?
So I'm doing something on my personal Facebook page. We're going to be launching, you know, a regular Cross for Georgia Facebook page. And you can also, you know, catch me on Twitter at GA Ballots.
That's great. That's great. We will look forward to hearing more as things begin to progress. And thank you. Thank you for the work over the last 4 years. Thank you for the willingness to step up. You know, that's how we tell who a lot of the good guys are. You look at what's happening in the legislature and other things. The folks that are stepping up are the ones we can count on.
Yeah, thank you, listen, I'll tell you, you know, just real briefly, one of the things that that I really resonate with, one of the messages from President Trump is that when he got involved, you know, he said, I had a beautiful life. Everything was wonderful. You know, I didn't need this, but I got involved because I want to try and save our country. I feel the same way about our state and about our state party right now. So I really empathize with that. I'm not a politician trying to seek higher office. You know, I'm a financial planner. I help people figure out how do I get from point A, you know, to point B. My job is solving problems for people. And right now we've got some problems that need to be solved in the party.
That sounds great. Thank you for being here. We'll look forward to the next time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Just a great discussion with David Cross. One more time, his website that is, I believe it's active now, is Cross, C-R-O-S-S, for F-O-R, Georgia, G-A.com. And you can learn more about what he's planning on with his candidacy and how to help or how to, you know, make suggestions because, as he said, he's listening. He's one guy, and he wants to make sure that folks have a voice in this whole process. Let's take a break and hear about one of our other sponsors who is in the metals industry and can help folks plan for protecting their family's investments.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashotsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
As you heard a few minutes ago, Trump has had an amazing first week in the new administration. 350, I believe, plus actions from him, and those are responding myriad more actions across many agencies, many facets of government, and all across the country. During the week, he made time to climb on Air Force One and visit North Carolina and LA, two areas that have been hit with terrible devastation and yet have been seemingly overlooked by the Biden administration. For example, FEMA under Biden has claimed, oh gosh, we're out of money, we don't have enough people. And yet they're kicking folks out of the little bit of help that they have been able to provide. Well, that seems to be turning, and we wanted to show Trump on his way to a three-stop tour during the week. In between North Carolina, LA, and then Las Vegas, Trump made a couple comments that are very interesting. We're going to play these for you. We're not going to make a judgment yet, but he seems to indicate there's more beyond what we're seeing with a couple of these tragedies.
We've never seen anything like it, frankly. They say the biggest in the history of California. I think, has anything bigger than that happened in the whole country ever? It looks like, I don't want to say what it looks like, but you know what I'm going to say. It looks like something hit it, and we won't talk about what hit it, but it is a bad, bad situation.
We won't talk about what hit it. Well, I suspect we have more news coming from the president in the coming days. He also made time to do a virtual attendance, a teleconference, if you will, with the folks attending Davos, which is particularly fascinating for folks here in Georgia. As many have spotted, for the third year in a row, Governor Brian Kemp made time to go over to Switzerland and attend the Davos meeting, and is having other meetings that, we don't know the subject, we don't know the parties involved. Once again, transparency seems to lack in Governor Kemp's plans. However, a number of the things that he seems to be aimed at are in 180-degree opposition to some of the things that Trump is talking about. Let's hear some of what Trump shared at Davos, and listen carefully to what he's saying we're moving away from.
Immigration, crime, and inflation. On day one, I signed an executive order directing every member of my cabinet to marshal all powers at their disposal to defeat inflation and reduce the cost of daily life. I imposed a federal hiring freeze, a federal regulation freeze, a foreign aid freeze, and I created the new Department of Government Efficiency. I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Deal. I call it the Green New Scam. Withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord and ended the insane and costly electric vehicle mandate. We're going to let people buy the car they want to buy. I declared a national energy emergency, and that's so important, national energy emergency, to unlock the liquid gold under our feet and pave the way for rapid approvals of new energy infrastructure. The United States has the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on Earth, and we're going to use it. Not only will this reduce the cost of virtually all goods and services, it'll make the United States a manufacturing superpower and the world capital of artificial intelligence and crypto. My administration has also begun the largest deregulation campaign in history, far exceeding even the record-setting efforts of my last term. In total, the Biden administration imposed $50,000 in additional regulatory costs on the average American household over the last 4 years. I have promised to eliminate 10 old regulations for every new regulation, which will soon put many thousands of dollars back in the pockets of American families. To further unleash our economy, our majorities in the House and Senate, which we also took along with the presidency, are going to pass the largest tax cut in American history, including massive tax cuts for workers and family, and big tax cuts for domestic producers and manufacturers. And we're working with the Democrats on getting an extension of the original Trump tax cuts, as you probably know, by just reading any paper. My message to every business in the world is very simple. Come make your product in America, and we will give you among the lowest taxes of any nation on earth.
Okay, so there's a number of things to unpack out of what he said. So let's start with the electric vehicle mandates. Those have now been canceled. What does that mean for Georgia? Well, you'll recall that Rivian had planned a plant in Georgia that they at first had canceled and appear to now have gotten from the Biden administration a $6.6 billion loan in order to continue and restart this plan for the plant. But is it the right choice? Well, in his latest comments, Kemp seems to suggest that. He, again, re-ups comments regarding electric vehicles and how important they are and such. But are they really? Well, when you delve into the actual demand that the industry is seeing, many folks will admit that demand has been slowing, declining for electric vehicles. Why? Well, it's the same thing that Trump has said in many cases for months and months. They're too expensive. They don't go far enough. They're too difficult and too timely to recharge, and too costly. They just cost exorbitantly more than other traditionally fueled vehicles. At the same time, he reiterates that we are moving toward a place where America will be able to once again tap its petroleum products and be able to have energy surplus. And so the question now becomes, well, what's going to happen with this six and some odd billion dollar loan being given to Rivian? Do we even want that in the state? And why is Brian Kemp over in Davos once again talking up things that we're clearly not moving toward as a country? Second, we talk about taxes and their impact on families here in Georgia and families all over the country. And Trump is talking about reducing taxes, both at the individual level through many of the things he's already explained, and at the corporate level. And if I heard him correctly, some of the lowest taxes anywhere in the world. That would be almost 180 degrees from the historical tax levels here in the U.S. compared to many other countries around the world. We've often had the highest taxes of many countries, perhaps not the highest, but toward the top. And so now he's suggesting that if they are American producers, in other words, producing in America, with American talent, then they would be able to enjoy a very low tax base. Where does that leave Georgia? Well, you'll hear, Kemp and others tout, oh, well, gosh, we're reducing Georgia taxes, just about every year. The problem is they are reducing them at such a slow rate that, with a fraction of a percentage per year, I believe the last estimate that I heard would be that it would take approximately 53 years for income tax in Georgia to be done away with. At the same time, several other states have already moved to squash their income taxes, because they realize by freeing up more money for people to use and earn and spend, ultimately, they get better results overall for their economy. Question becomes, why are we not doing that? Now, keep in mind where Kemp is at the moment. Does Davos talk about reducing taxes? No, they talk about being able to secure the ability to invest more in things like preventing climate change and things like the Paris Accords. Well, you heard Trump has removed us from the Paris Accord, saving, by their estimate, $1 trillion going forward. You see the pattern here? Davos and the WEF is interested in pushing forward on things that are not in certainly Americans' best interest and certainly not in Georgians' best interest, according to many experts. They are interested in their own agenda, which is not a Georgia agenda. The question that remains then is, why is Brian Kemp spending so much time trying to make friends, to get them to recognize Georgia and have companies come over here? We've already expressed, and many citizens have expressed concern about Chinese companies taking a stand in Georgia. Their intent, their policies are unclear at best and maybe adversarial at worst. So we recommend that Governor Kemp and his cadre of folks consider the needs and the desires of the folks in Georgia first, and not those espoused by the members, billionaire members in most cases, of Davos and the World Economic Foundation. We don't want to eat the bugs. So tell Klaus to take a walk. With that, we will be able to close our show in just a couple of minutes. I want to remind folks that we are on Sundays at 2, as we are today, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And as things begin to heat up in the legislative ranks, we will report those on the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. And as we did last year and in previous years, we will ask for the communities, for the citizens' input and action to prevent bills that we believe do not play in the best interest of Georgians. We will ask for support for those that we do, and we will explain our reasoning in both cases. Everyone can and should do their own research, make their own decision about what they wish to support. But again, looking at things in the past that have, for example, attempted to take away Georgian sovereignty about our decisions as to what is mental health and what isn't. There was a bill out a couple of years ago that proposed to relinquish that sovereignty to definitions from the WHO. WHO, we're no longer a member of, by the way, because of Trump. We are going to call those out. We have published an article that suggests the things to look for, to shy away from, and we recommend you read that and look for the phrases and wording that suggests an interest in things that are not in Georgians' best interest. Thank you. And we're going to close with, again, listening to some J6ers following their release and feel the joy that they felt as they once again found freedom thanks to President Trump's pardon and commutation of their probably unlawful sentences. So here we go. We will see you next time. If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take